T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio, WEEI. I just screwed up my computer screen. But
what's the matter?
I can unscrew it. I was trying to look at a funny GIF from Golden Tate.
This guy loves GIFs. Funny GIFs. What did Golden Tate tweet out?
Golden Tate has tweeted out a GIF of a guy with, like, the sweat pouring off.
It's Jordan Peele. It was a Key and Peele bit, and it's Jordan Peele. It's the one where it looks like just water. He's sweating so much.
Like,
it looks like a
pouring
hose
off him.
Yeah, yeah. So that's all he tweeted out.
So maybe Golden Tate thinks there's something going on. Well, I mean, not necessarily here.
Less than 4 hours away. We haven't really heard anything, right? Nothing's happened today. It's been a quiet deadline day. Although,
by the way, Bill Belichick will join OMF at 3:30 today.
You know what?
And not tell them a damn thing about deals that have already been made.
My bold prediction on that?
Okay.
That gets bumped. Didn't that happen with us last year?
It did, yeah.
It was trade deadline day or right around there. And then he
came on. We knew about deals. Yeah.
That's my conspiracy. So 3:30.
If we have something, you know, they'll put out a release later on.
You tune in the whole time anyway. We don't need to tell you how to do it because that's what you do. But my guess is 3:30, he and Casario may be pretty busy. There may be some other things in the works. So that's my my bold prediction for
He's also scheduled to talk to the media, like do their little conference call thing at 2:30.
They get nothing.
I don't know.
They're getting. He might take a shot at Ian Rappaport.
That's going to be really quick.
Flores is talking.
Do you think Golden Tate, because there was Golden Tate rumors back in the preseason. You think Golden Tate to the Patriots? I mean, they could easily call up Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn and get something going there, but I don't see it. I mean, unless he goes back to Josh Gordon, was something up there with Josh Gordon. And
what if they traded Dante Hightower for Golden Tate?
They could.
Let's be honest. You wouldn't be shocked at all.
I mean, most NFL trades are player for pick, but you'll see those every once in a while. You'll see the player for player. And that's the kind of deal that the Patriots would make. They always make a surprise deal. And you would say, well, the defense is a mess. The one guy from the outside, well, I guess there's a couple guys. Stephon Gilmore, I really like. Trey Flowers, I really like. And then Dante Hightower. It's been sort of up and down this year. Started really slow. Then didn't play last night. He just signed a deal, like an extension, pretty reasonable money too. And then he could go, and then you're left scratching your head because you say, does this team really need to add to their offense, or do they need to maybe add to their defense? But then again, you can't predict anything that Bill Belichick does. The only thing I will predict is they make some move because they always do.
How about Teddy Bridgewater to the Jaguars?
Yeah, that'd be good for them.
I could see that, couldn't you?
Better than Cody Kessler.
No, you take that back. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that'd be another one you could see. I wonder if I don't think the Patriots add a running back, but you got to wonder if they're at least putting in some calls, see if there's, you know, a running back available that, you know, so you don't have to give the ball to Cordarrelle Patterson 10 times in the backfield. Because Sony Michel's not out for the year, but
he might be back next week.
He might
for
be.
All we know.
He might be. But then is he going to be good the rest of the way? Like, he hasn't been here that long, and he's already dealt with a couple of different injuries. So you might want to prepare yourself for somebody else. But what did you make of the Josh Gordon news last night before the game came out?
I thought that there was something there. I would assume that Ian Rappaport wasn't just making stuff up. Wow.
Well, I mean,
I'm going to assume that that's a fairly specific thing to make up.
He made up two very specific things. One, that he was late, and two, that it was probably going to be a quarter.
The first quarter.
He's probably going to sit out the first quarter.
And then
quarter.
When I saw the opening drive, and I went, hey.
First play.
Isn't
he's
that number
out there.
10 out there?
Like, yep, Josh Gordon didn't miss a single thing.
So then
Ian Rappaport is a douche.
No, I didn't think that.
Nailed it. I thought that. I haven't stopped thinking that.
So then I thought, okay, he obviously played, so either Rappaport got steered the wrong direction or maybe, possibly, got set up. You know, that Bill Belichick used somebody within his organization who he was trying to ferret out and said, hey, guess what? So-and-so, Josh Gordon isn't going to play the first series.
I mean, that became a pretty popular Keefspiracy last night, was that he was trying to find a rat. I'm like, I feel like Belichick would know who his rats are at this point. Don't you think? Like, especially with all the stories.
Rats.
There's new rats. You can't trust anybody anymore.
Well, see, then it wasn't until post-game that I thought, and as I listened to it, I thought Ian Rappaport, his credibility got resurrected for me.
Is there any problems with tardiness?
That's going to be a question you're going to ask Coach about.
Okay, that's enough. Okay, here's
ask
the deal.
Coach, what's wrong with that? Every player in that locker room.
As soon as Josh Gordon got asked, were you tardy?
Yeah.
That's something you're going to have to ask Coach about. Stop.
That's going
to
be a question you're going to ask Coach about.
See, this is pretty simple to me.
Yeah.
If I wasn't tardy, it's a simple answer. No, I wasn't tardy.
Or?
I don't know why. Where'd you get that? No, I wasn't.
Or do the Patriots say, hey, to all their players, if you're asked about football, you can answer football. And if it's anything else, say you got to ask the coach. I could see Josh Gordon just trying to answer the question the way that he thinks the team wants him to answer.
I got to tell you, that would be a simple one. No, I wasn't tardy.
So do you think guys can be tardy and not get punished now? I mean, maybe guys are late all the time that we don't know about.
Yeah, I don't know. Doubt that's the case.
But so either Rappaport at least got one thing wrong. Maybe he got two things wrong. You know, so even if he was tardy, what Rappaport also followed that up with is he's going to miss time in the game. So he got that also from somebody. Because, like, to your point, he's not making stuff up.
No, I agree with you.
That. Like, whether he's getting good information or bad, that's to be determined. But so somebody,
and by the way, he may have gotten good information.
Well, no,
and then
obviously
something happened.
but
I'm saying it may well be that was the intent. That was what they were going to do.
So what changed then, I guess?
That it got out there.
And then so he doesn't want them to know what it is? I mean, I don't know. I mean, that seems like a lot of cover-up because it still is out there. You know, and people are going to, and especially with Josh Gordon, they're going to continue to follow this. Like, Josh Gordon's going to be asked about this for a while now. I mean, every time he's available, which isn't a ton, by the way, but when he is available, it's usually after games. You know, people are going to still be kind of poking around trying to figure out what's going on. And also, the scariest thing to me as a Josh Gordon fan and as a guy that has come in here and I thought had done everything the right way and has been on the field, been available, and has been, you know, somewhat productive, is when you heard the rumors yesterday that they were interested in giving up a high draft pick for a receiver, and whether it was Golden Tate or Demaryius Thomas or somebody else, I said, why would you bring in another guy? Because right now, Philip Dorsett, who had a decent start to the year, he barely even plays anymore. And Chris Hogan is like the fourth option. So you're going to bring in another guy? I feel like if you bring in a receiver, that probably means you're going to get rid of one. And who would you get out of the guys that are on the team right now? I think it'd be Josh Gordon, unfortunately. So I don't know where all that's coming from.
And I'm talking strictly from a football perspective here. I don't know what Golden Tate's family situation is, if he likes living there and all that. Just from a football perspective, if you were Golden Tate and you thought there was a chance you could get traded to the Patriots, hell yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some of these receivers, though, they want big stats. And if you're Golden Tate, you come here and you know you're the, what would he be, the fourth or fifth option? I mean, I guess if Gordon's out, then maybe you become the fourth, but Edelman, Gronk, and James White are all going to get thrown to more than you are if you're Golden Tate.
I asked you this earlier about Josh Gordon, and of course you lied to me.
I never lied to you, first of all. You led me astray. How's that?
Because I said, has Josh Gordon performed up to your expectations so far? And you said, oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Please. You didn't expect more out of Gordon than what you've seen?
So for a guy who wasn't on the team in camp and was just plucked into the middle of the season.
He's been here a little while now.
So he's played, what, three games? Like a lot of snaps in three games? And if you took his numbers and
I expected more than what I've seen.
No, you didn't. You didn't even want him on the team.
No, I said you expected more? Yeah.
What?
My concern was whether or not he could stay on the team.
Oh, my God. Well, he is.
If he played, yeah. I thought I was going to get more out of him than I have.
So you thought he was going to just step in here and be like Randy Moss? Like, I don't think that's
not initially, but he's been here, you know, for a few weeks now.
Some of these guys are on the team for the full year, and they don't even get on the field. Like, I think that's asking a whole lot. I think if you took
So this
stats,
is exactly what you thought you were getting from Josh
I
Gordon.
Was hopeful that, yeah, that this was going to be what it was. He's on pace for if you took the last four games that he has played – and, you know, did the projections for a full season, that's like a 65-catch year, 900-something yards. That's pretty good. How many other guys have been able to do that? Brandon Cooks last year was just barely over 1,000 yards.
He's now played five games here.
Yeah, no, but the first two, he played 18 snaps each. So that was him trying to figure out the offense. The last three, he has played a lot more. He's got a touchdown. He's got a 100-yard game in there. I mean, I think he's been pretty good.
He's played five games. He's been targeted 28 times. He has 17 catches, 256 yards, and one touchdown.
He's better than Philip Dorsett. He's better than Chris Hogan. Like, that's pretty good if you ask me.
And when I asked this question earlier, somebody on the text line says, oh, well, he's opening things up for Gronk. Really? Because Gronk looks completely opened up to you, right?
Yeah, Gronk doesn't look great. You think, I don't know if something physically is wrong with Gronk or what, but he doesn't look the same, does he?
And
I know there was last week there was something physically wrong, but we were told that the back spasm was sort of like a one-off, and like that was for one game,
right?
And maybe now he's going to be better, but you know, Gronk's way off the pace of all of his incentives from last year, or for this year, based on the numbers from last year.
He's got, it feels like almost no chance to grab those numbers.
No, it doesn't. And he has stayed out of the end zone. What, does he have the one touchdown this year? I mean, that is maybe as big a surprise as any. Yeah, he is way off the pace. He's on pace for 59 catches, which is under. He is on pace for 926 yards, but that's still under. He needs to get over 1,000. So, and we're halfway through the season. Like, that's a pretty good sample. And obviously the one missed game was a problem. But last year he did all those numbers in 14 games. So, yeah, he has not been great. But, no, I mean, I love Josh Gordon, but I thought it was very unrealistic to think he's going to come in here and be, you know, Julio Jones. Like, I don't think that was realistic.
I never thought he was Julio Jones anyway.
So what did you think he was going to do?
I thought that, I mean, what we've basically seen here is a little over three catches a game. Five games, 17 catches.
What did you think it was going to be?
I thought he'd be in the end zone more than once.
So he has as many touchdowns as Gronk.
Yeah, and we just said Gronk's not performing at levels we expected
either. Gronk's a touchdown
either.
Machine.
Right.
And Josh Gordon's barely played in the league the last 5 years. So some of that also might be on Brady as well. I know you said you don't think he's as sharp as he was a year ago.
My concerns about Gordon all along, as you know, was simply that they weren't going to be able to keep him on the field. That, you know, he's had issues in the past.
Right,
that's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that he's had issues in the past. Why do we think that just because he's here, those issues are going to be resolved? So far, so good. That's great. I'm happy. If he played, though, I thought he was going to be a force.
I wouldn't say that. I thought he was going to be – I just wanted him to be better than – what they had, and I want him to be like year one Brandon LaFell with the ability to be better. And it's still early on for him, and he already has. He's already met that. You know, LaFell was useful for a year. Brandon Lloyd was useful for a year because so much of their offense goes through Gronk and Edelman and now James White that we're, you know, are you going to really have another 1,300-yard receiver, another 10-touchdown guy? I think he has the ability to do that, but in this offense, I think it's going to be a little bit less than that. So I have no problem with him, and I would not expect any more out of Demaryius Thomas or Golden Tate. I don't think either one of those guys
would
do
better.
I like
Tate more than Thomas, but...
But do you like Tate, the idea of Tate more than Josh Gordon? Plus, Tate would have to start all over,
knowing the offense and
maybe,
all that stuff.
Play 18 plays or whatever it was for a couple of weeks, and then before you open up the whole offense to him.
Yeah, and in his five games here, in the first game, he had two targets, two catches for 32 yards. Second game here, four targets, two catches, 50 yards. Third game, nine targets, five catches, 42 yards. Fourth game, seven targets, four catches, 100 yards. And then last night, six targets, four catches, 42 yards.
And then the same Brandon Cooks argument that people would make, he also had, you know, one of those pass interferences that he picked up that it was, you know, way down the field. Remember, it was down deep inside the red zone that he was able to pick that up too. So I just think he's a better threat than any of the other wide receivers that they have. Maybe the exception of Edelman, but those guys are completely different players.
Are you as convinced as I am that Gronk is way below optimum health-wise? Because he has looked different than I can remember.
Yeah,
maybe
I kind of thought that that was just a back thing that like popped up on him, and you know that's over with, and he's going to be fine. Like not with him. Like it's just unfortunately there's so many different injuries. I mean, you can look at just about every part of the body, and he has dealt with something over the course of his career. I know there was the talk at the beginning of the year that he wasn't as fast as he used to be. I don't even know if that's necessarily the case. So many times you see him make catches over people, you know, like the one that he almost had yesterday. Like those are the kind of catches. It's not like he has this great separation.
The catch on the sidelines was great.
It was awesome. But that's what you're used to seeing. But yeah, something's a little bit off. Maybe it's the combination. Maybe Brady is slightly off, and so is Gronk, and that has led to where the stats are now. But yeah, it doesn't seem like they're in lockstep by any means. I mean, one touchdown through 8 weeks for him is
Rob Gronkowski
rare.
With what we assume and I think is a healthy Tom Brady, that doesn't seem right at all.
No. That doesn't. And, you know, a guy like James White is having a career year, but Gronk certainly is not.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. You can text us if you'd prefer at 37937. Noon Turdy is coming up next.
Oh, it sure is.
It's Kiefer Madness time, mm-hmm. a Halloween-themed Bobby Boris Pickett.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's pretty much.
I would say so.
Why did I give it away?
I think you've pinpointed
and
it.
And I was just flat out guessing stuff. By the way, Bobby Boris Pickett from Somerville, Mass.
Is that right? How do you like that?
So a local lad made your favorite Halloween song ever.
He made very good. Good for him.
Well, he did one anyway. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Kiefer Madness?
Kiefer Madness?
Yes, I'm ready for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
What now?
Rack that one up for Kiefer Madness, will you?
Is he going to talk about ducks wearing clothes and stuff?
What did you say?
Going to be like Kiefer Madness. He's going to be in a great buildup and then nothing.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy. Okay.
So screw you, Keefe.
Yeah.
Right. Screw you.
Nice. Exactly. We don't need you.
Stupid jerk.
We don't need you.
Kiefer Madness.
I hate Rich Keefe's guts.
Rich Keefe is just that guy makes you rock.
Kiefer Madness.
I don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
I think Halloween pranks are fine.
Halloween mischief.
Oh, no.
How does the sex bit happen? You can still feel it. Like, it felt this kind of, it's difficult to explain.
Like a weight.
Kind of a weight, but at the same time, weightless.
Dale, it's time for Kiefer Madness, but before we get to that...
Let's give you one real-world thing here quickly before we do this. Both the Globe and the Herald reported today, that James Whitey Bulger, the infamous Boston mobster, had been moved to the Hazleton Penitentiary, which is in West Virginia. He was convicted of killing at least 11 people. Health has been deteriorating. He was moved from a Florida prison to one in Oklahoma in the past week. And then was transferred to Hazleton. The president of the union representing workers at the Hazleton prison has been told that a male inmate was slain overnight. He said he was not told who was killed. Michelle McPhee is the only person I've seen reporting this right now, says Whitey Bulger was killed in his new West Virginia prison sometime overnight. Now, he only arrived there yesterday.
I was going to say, that was his first night in, right?
He just got there yesterday. She is saying... And as I said, I don't see anybody else saying it besides Michelle McPhee, that James Whitey Bulger was killed in the West Virginia prison to which he was. We know he was transferred. That
right,
part,
right.
Multiple media reports had his transfer. Michelle McPhee's the first and only person I've seen reporting that he was killed there last night.
We were just talking. Was it yesterday about the movie Black Mass?
Yeah.
And how
yeah,
it was
we
not
were.
Very good.
Well, we were talking more about the accents. Awful accents.
Yeah,
but
the accents. Also, the movie was not great.
It was
not,
okay.
No critic score, user score. This could be a boost for it, though.
Yeah, maybe it will. So if anybody else has that too, we'll pass that along for you. But Dale, it is Halloween season. In fact, tomorrow is Halloween. It's been Halloween season all month long.
Is there such a thing as Halloween season?
October. All October.
As long
long
as Home Depot has Halloween stuff up, it's Halloween season.
Yeah, crazy stuff.
Can you talk about the fact that it's Halloween?
That'd be tomorrow. Thank you, ma'am, for your question. Tomorrow is Halloween. People, of course, all month long. Actually, I have people down the street from me that right after Labor Day put up Halloween decorations.
Love that. I think that's outstanding.
That is early, though, no?
There's no such thing as too early.
When do you do Christmas decorations?
Tomorrow.
Is that right?
Well, the first.
November 1st? So that's what these people must do because they had a lot of stuff. They had a ton of yard stuff. But it was the day after Labor Day, and I was like, holy smokes, look at all these blow-ups and all these kind of witches and skeletons.
You only get so much time you can do it. Maybe a month.
That's true.
So you can extend it
about
a couple
About 2 weeks.
Months.
So these decorations can be pretty intense, and that's why we go out to this story in the beautiful state of North Dakota.
Used to live there.
You lived in North Dakota?
Minot, North Dakota.
How was the,
why not
the weather? How was the weather
it
there?
It was god-awful.
Yeah, it was just
yeah, it was
How big
horrible.
Was the town?
It was small. Yeah. We lived south of town, quote unquote.
Okay.
The Air Force Base, Minot Air Force Base, is north of town. It was probably 15, 20 miles away as the crow flies.
Okay,
and because
sure.
it is flat as a pancake.
Yeah.
I could lay in my bed upstairs and see the runway lights.
Is that right? How long were you there for?
Just a couple of years. Yeah. My dad was working on the missile
sites.
Didn't
you go to Minnesota? We
went to Minnesota after Minot.
Jeez.
We couldn't get out of Minot quick enough, so we went to Minnesota to warm up.
Beautiful big sky country out in North Dakota.
This early Halloween decoration has neighbors in West Fargo concerned.
Uh-oh.
Early decoration.
North Fargo, they're a little concerned.
One of them even called 911.
WDAY News reporter Nick Broadway tells us why this $1 window poster was enough to get police attention.
Oh, boy. Oh.
It was an accidental trick long before any treats got handed out.
Nice. See what they did there? A little trick or treat.
Get
pun.
It, yeah.
Nice.
Thank you.
Right out of the chute. We know we're dealing with the top brass.
Long before any treats got handed out.
It is my favorite holiday. It's been since birth, actually.
October 31st.
Your favorite holiday since birth?
You never came right out the womb going,
go, when's Halloween? What are we going as this year? Do we have a family costume? What are we doing here? What do you have?
Been since birth, actually.
October 31st is also this couple's wedding anniversary.
Oh, so they're in it. They are absolutely locked in.
Oh, yeah.
They got married on Halloween?
That's a great day to get married.
You think? That is a dopey day to get married.
unless
you're going to wear some orange wedding dress or something.
Yeah, what do you think they wore?
Skulls on your bow tie.
What would you do? Would you go as Dracula and the Bride of Dracula?
Now we're talking.
Or Frankenstein.
Elvira. You could go
the
anywhere.
The Bride
with
of
it.
Frankenstein.
I'm going to guess that your wife, who I've met, seems like a very lovely person, would not share your enthusiasm for getting married on Halloween.
She might not, but I just think in general.
She might not.
As you get older, like there's Halloween parties, but then like, you know, if it was a Saturday night and you were getting married on, I think people would be ecstatic about it. And you throw a little twist in there with the
I was married on New Year's Eve.
What do you think of that one, Dale?
It's less dopey than Halloween,
but still dopey.
People loved it.
I mean, I got to be honest, it's kind of hard to find a place, isn't it? Hold the reception and all that on New Year's Eve?
We stayed on past midnight, so it turned into like a double party. It was perfect. And it was a Saturday that year, so
it's the same thing.
It was perfect.
People think they have plans on these days.
They really don't. God, New Year's, nobody's doing anything on New Year's.
And they're looking for an excuse to have a great party, and they don't have to pay for it.
So now these people, Halloween and their anniversary, are all wrapped up into one. So these people, they get it.
And Becky's birthday is on the 29th.
Oh my God, they were made for
overkill.
It. So you came right out of the womb, and she was like, Halloween's in 2 days? Let's get cracking.
Halloween is kind of a good day for us.
Oh, that's perfect.
Over the weekend, Becky Muse got a jump start on Halloween decorations. Before any of the eyeballs or inflatables went up.
The eyeballs? Is that really synonymous with Halloween?
No. Maybe blood.
Hey, did you guys take the eyeballs yet? Where are the eyeballs? Nothing says Halloween like a nice set of eyeballs.
Bowl full of eyeballs.
I don't get that one.
Their first decoration was this window sign. It says, help me, and looks like it was written in blood.
I don't know if the neighbors are going to be wild about the help me sign written in blood.
After putting it up, the couple went out for a birthday dinner. On their way home,
they didn't care.
They were putting that there, it's fine.
Time to go get a nosh.
They got messages from neighbors asking if they were okay. One man even went as far as calling 911. That neighbor,
where do you get ready for this?
Was Michael Myers.
even better.
Is none other than WDAY radio host Jay Thomas.
The guy that works at the station with him. The guy that works at the station.
Well, he was concerned about his coworker. Rich, if I drove by your house and
I saw... No, not a coworker. I'm saying the guy that... The people are doing this story, some guy...
I thought he was the neighbor.
He was the neighbor, but I'm saying he saw them and was obviously very concerned, so he called 911.
I look across the street, and I see in my neighbor's window this sign that says, help me. So I'm like, what's going on over here?
He says he saw what appeared to be an undercover squad car parked down the street.
Wait a minute. Somebody's got like a sting operation.
What does
going
an
on
undercover
here?
Squad car look like?
You know, there's no siren on it. There's no lights. That's about it.
So it's basically a car.
It's just a car. He saw a car parked.
Yeah.
But he thought it was
this
undercover.
Sign that says, help me. So I'm like, what's going on over here?
He says he saw what appeared to be an undercover squad car parked down the street before calling police.
So I go walk down there to look in the car, and a person in the car just motions me to get out of here.
So what was he doing? He walks down the street, and he's like, is something going on?
So he's got to check it out.
Hey, what's going on? And the guy's just like, take a hike, and then he does.
How does he know it's an undercover squad car?
He has no idea.
Could have just been anybody. Imagine somebody walking up to you in your car. What are you going to do?
I'm like, oh, is this my Uber? I'm like, no, get out of here. Get out of here. That happens all the time.
I'm like, whoa, okay, something's not right.
Thomas calls 911.
Whoa.
No, that doesn't mean something's not right. It just means the guy's waiting for somebody else. He just wants to explain himself to you. That doesn't make any sense. This guy's a radio host, too. He's just like us.
He's got a voice like that.
He too. Does have a great voice. A great pipe.
This sign that says, help me. Oh. So I'm like, what's going on over here?
I was like, what's going on? Somebody needs help.
Then he starts messaging Becky.
And I didn't answer. And 15 minutes later, he's like, are you okay? Are you at home? And then I said, what? And he said, the sign. You have a sign in your window. Help me.
She was okay.
Oh, what a relief.
Thank God.
What a relief.
And the officer who showed up told the couple this happens all the time.
It's a classic mishap. The old blood help me sign all the time.
It is kind of a little much, don't you think?
I think it's a Halloween decoration. And if they know these people, they got married on Halloween, they're obsessed with Halloween. Unless they just moved in, wouldn't they know they're a super Halloween place?
Yeah, and he texted her, so he clearly has her number. And it's a dollar awful. Sign. It's not like it's like well done, I'm sure. It's just some crappy stick just on the window.
Right.
To my defense, there were no other Halloween decorations out there.
To his defense, that's actually not bad. If that's the only thing
you have
if the house,
only thing is the sign in the window and there's nothing else, maybe, no skull and crossbones hanging from a tree or anything.
The eyes up yet.
The eyes are in a bowl. They're a minimalist. In the front foyer.
They're like, we have the help me sign. Looks like it's written in blood.
From total scare to a memory that's still making both of them laugh.
Yeah, that was a talented terror there.
Nick Broadway.
She's really.
Whoa,
really
back up.
She's really cracked up.
Who was the reporter?
Oh, you'll hear.
Yeah, that was a talented terror there.
Nick Broadway, WDAY.
Oh, stop.
News.
That is not Nick his Broadway. Real. That's a stage name.
He's workshopping some things out in Fargo. Nick Broadway.
Nick Broadway in
Nick
Fargo.
Broadway.
Yeah, not
Broadway.
A chance.
You don't think it's Nick Broadway?
No.
Yeah, probably not.
Nick Broadway, WDAY News.
It is his stage name.
That could be.
I agree. It does look real. Officers, by the way, didn't ask them to take down the help me sign.
Jay's kind of a Mrs. Kravitz.
What's Mrs. Kravitz?
That's from Bewitched.
Oh, a bewitched reference?
A Bewitched reference, yes.
Timely.
Bewitched reference.
Of all movies, he chose Bewitched.
He went with Bewitched.
Movie. He's an old TV show. You a movie. We don't even think of a TV show.
He's an older gentleman. I mean, that's okay.
Was that a 70s show or 80s?
60s into 70s.
60s into 70s. Want to freshen up those references there, guy? I guess not.
Can I give you an addition to Kiefer Madness?
Yes, please.
Halloween, because it's the Halloween theme.
It is the Halloween theme.
This is from an Associated Press story out of Oakland, California.
Okay.
I'm just going to read you the opening line of the story, okay?
Yes, let's hear it.
Here we go. Police investigators on Monday were trying to determine whether a decaying human head found in an Oakland backyard belongs to a recently discovered headless corpse. I'm going to help him out here and suggest.
Usually does.
I'm going to suggest.
Go ahead and connect
them. You got a headless corpse over here, and you got a head over here, there's a pretty good chance.
But Dale, there might be more headless corpses.
I was going to say, sadly, you might have two unsolved crimes.
Or
you have one solved crime or two unsolved. It's really. It's
I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest they might be connected.
See, you're. Oh, well, but they're not, is the thing.
So Sergeant Michael Cardoza told reporters, I can say that in my years of service, I've never had a human skull delivered to the police station.
Oh, my
because
God.
The folks who found it in the backyard said, we got to take this to the police. They didn't leave it there.
No.
They threw it in the trunk.
No, you can't touch it.
Drove to the police. Hey,
if I've learned anything about CSI or CSI New York, or CSI Miami, or CSI Atlanta,
or Las Vegas,
or CSI Boston,
CSI Revere.
You don't pick them up. You leave the skulls where they are, and you call
leave
somebody.
The human head in the pile
call
of leaves.
That's right.
Call the authorities.
That's what you do. That's right. Thank you very much.
You never know.
No,
it could come up.
That's true.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We get right back to the calls with you. Coming up next, Sports Radio, WEEI.
So I go walk down there to look in the car, and a person in the car just motions me to get out of here. I'm like, whoa, okay, something's not right.
It is my favorite holiday. It's been since birth, actually.
It was an accidental trick long before any treats got handed out.
And can you talk about the fact that Halloween is...
on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, I sense a certain theme here. So just when you thought things couldn't get worse for the New York Giants, they did.
What happened?
So backup quarterback Kyle Laletta, who many people wanted to see playing like next week.
He should be.
He was arrested in Weehawken, New Jersey this morning while driving to the team's practice facility in East Rutherford.
What?
He was trying to make a right turn from the wrong lane to get to Route 495 East. A traffic officer there directed him to keep going straight.
Because can't you not take right turns in New Jersey?
Well, from a left lane. He was in the wrong lane.
Oh, that too.
So the officer said, no, keep going straight. He made the right turn anyway, nearly ran over the officer directing traffic. He was stopped by another officer at the end of the on-ramp.
An idiot.
Sources said he did the exact same thing yesterday, but was not stopped. Police saw his license plate. He's being issued two summonses in the mail.
Nice.
The Giants said, we are aware of the situation and are in contact with Kyle. We're still gathering information. He was not at practice today.
No. He's got to leave a little earlier, maybe, so he doesn't have to make the illegal turn
maybe
to get to
practice.
Maybe
find another route.
Maybe he was a little afraid of being late to practice. Maybe he was worried about that, I guess. He was taking illegal turns. But that's even worse. Not only did he take the illegal turn, and there's a police officer right there. But
who's telling you to not take the illegal turn.
No, I'm still going to do it. And then you almost hit him. I hope he's not the do-you-know-who-I-am guy. That feels like a move.
And
like,
by the way, no one knows who he is.
Like, it's one
thing. He's a backup quarterback, for God's sake.
It's one thing. Like, everybody is taking an illegal turn. But it's another thing to do it right in front of a police officer. Like, what are you doing? You can't do that. And so who knows what will happen.
And especially if the police officer say, no. Straight.
I wonder
Keep
if
going
that'll,
straight.
I wonder if that'll play any part in delaying his, you know, becoming the starter there. Because they're a mess. They should probably make that move. And it's what's a shame. Like, they're probably looking at it. They have Odell Beckham and Saquon Barkley, which is as good of a wide receiver running back duo as you're probably going to find in the league. And yet they have a quarterback that just can't get it done anymore. I don't even know if he ever really could, except for a couple of years.
In fact, with the trading deadline today at 4, there were those...
Still nothing, by the
there
way.
There were those who suggested that the Jacksonville Jaguars might be interested in acquiring Eli Manning.
I don't think that would really help them, do you?
No.
Yeah, I really don't. I don't see it.
But Coughlin and...
Yeah, no, I mean, there's definitely a connection there, and it's not much to be an upgrade over Blake Bortles, but is that even enough of an upgrade? Like, I don't think that it is. Not the way Eli Manning's playing now. This has been a real bust, though, the old trade deadline. Good thing we're not doing like an NFL trade deadline show.
Trade deadline? Well, we are.
Oh, this is it.
We start at 1.
No, we're in the middle.
No, we start at 1.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, we're starting the trade deadline show at 1.
Should be good. Always a lot of activity.
We're going to go to all of our reporters in all the different cities around the NFL.
All of our insiders and some of our outsiders. And,
well, if Ian Rappaport's available.
If he wants to join us, we can discuss what is not happening in the league right now.
He's probably not going to join us at any time soon.
No.
Considering you say mean things about him.
No, that's not true. I think he happened to get one wrong here. Yesterday, he was saying Josh Gordon was going to maybe miss the entire first quarter. Not sure he missed a snap. He was out there the whole time.
And he hasn't walked it back. He didn't.
No, it's weird. And unless he did a spot.
Addressed it.
Yeah, unless he did a spot on the network that I missed. If you just look at his follow-up tweets, he still has that one there. And then the only other time he referred to it was saying that the Patriots are interested in Demaryius Thomas and Golden Tate. That's it. That's all we're dealing with so far.
Time to talk to New England Patriots running back James White, because this is sort of Patriots Monday, even though it's a Tuesday. James is brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance. Hey, James, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
We're doing great, thank you. I got to ask you, first of all, you take a wide receiver and you turn him into a running back for a week. How much extra work would that entail for Cordarrelle Patterson to take that role on?
Well, I think he's done it on the previous team that he's had on. He's an athletic guy, big, fast, and strong. So, he does it on campus. It's not too much different. Just all the new offensive line.
I'm going to put him on hold.
Yeah, he sounds like he's underwater. He's out there, like Scuba Steve.
Is this James White or Squidward?
Sounds like he's down there messing around a little bit there. That's all right.
It's not his fault. What is his fault? Get a better phone.
I'm surprised the phone works underwater. You would think that it would just be like right away, be like, all right, this isn't happening. Not all phones, I don't think, are waterproof, but that is Jonathan Jones material from a year ago. That was
that's
similar.
Pretty close
to Jonathan Jones.
It's in the ballpark.
That was tough. That's why we're typically down at Gillette.
This
on
is you just heard the reason we go to Gillette.
You know, when I've done radio interviews, we've made fun of my phone before. It wasn't as bad as that. Mine was not strong. I'll admit that. I sounded like I was in maybe a different planet, but at least that wasn't a water-based planet. It just happened to be in outer space.
Squidward.
Yeah, a little Squidward there to him. Sometimes they get better too. Like you listen to it at first, you're like, "Oh, this is gonna no."
Oh
no,
yeah, I'm sure this will. No,
no, it didn't. I think he was gonna say that Patterson is a good player because that's what we're sort of getting. He is. I just don't think that's his thing. I'll be honest. He's a great kick returner. Don't you think it's kind of limited to that?
Like yeah,
what else? What else does he do?
And by the way, James White is a captain of the team. He's never going to say anything.
Oh, of course. No.
And derogatory.
I was curious to hear what he was going to say about a guy who's not a running back having to do, you know, his job. You know, that kind of thing.
That's what I thought. Yeah. You know, if they'd gone to James White, now he's kind of a pass-catching back anyway.
But they said,
listen, Julian Edelman's out this week. We want you to play Julian's position.
Yeah, you're only going to line up in the slot.
You've got to know all of those, all those calls, all those plays. I mean, I would think it would involve a fair chunk extra work.
And he actually could definitely do it. Like he's the one example that could. Whereas if you ask somebody else, like, you know, Sony Michel or go back to like Antoine Smith, if you asked him to do that, he'd be like, what? It's like, no, this is my particular set of skills are a little bit different.
We're going to try this again.
Yes.
James, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Oh, right, sound that's great. Much better now. Good. We couldn't hear you before. It sounded like you were underwater. So tell us about the workload that Cordarrelle Patterson would have to take on the role that he did last night.
It's actually not too much for him. He's a big, strong, fast guy. It's similar to what he does on takeoff returns in terms of setting up his blocks and hitting the hole. So and I'm pretty sure he's done it on the previous teams he's been on. So he's an electric guy, and I'm glad he can help us.
What was the difference between the first half and the second half? Just 9-3 was the score at the end of the first half, but then you guys were able to turn it on a little bit more, especially in the fourth quarter.
Well, we just weren't finishing our drives. We get into the red zone and weren't scoring touchdowns. And we usually better at that, and we just have to watch the film and see ways we can improve. We had a few negative plays in the red zone, which never helped. So definitely things we need to work on.
We asked you last week about, you know, the bus ride into Buffalo because Rob Ninkovich had told us lots of stories about it. How was the bus ride last night?
Actually, wasn't too bad. I mean, we got your typical stuff. You know, they have a good fan base and they're always fired up whenever we come to town. So it's what you expect from a division opponent.
We talked with Devin McCourty last week, and he said he prefers the Sunday at 1 games. He said, you know, you're in the NFL. He likes playing Sunday at 1. You guys played last night. You're playing next Sunday night. You've played Thursday already this year. How do you feel about the primetime games?
Yeah, I mean, I prefer the 1 o'clock games, but, I mean, it happens. You got to play at nighttime. You got to do it. You know, I guess it gives you some extra time to take care of your body and prepare for your opponent.
Is there a sense of nervousness within the locker room when you get to trade deadline day, or does everybody just say, hey, I'm fine, it won't happen here?
I mean, you just control what you can control. I mean, it's not in the players' hands. Just go out there and put your best foot forward every day, and then whatever happens. The NFL is a business at the end of the day, so you can't really control it.
Now, there was a report yesterday before the game that Josh Gordon was late for a meeting or meetings, and he was going to miss time in the game. He didn't miss time in the game. Do you know anything about him being late?
I mean, it's not really my position to comment on that situation. You have to ask those fellas yet.
Is that something where if a player is late, whether it's him, you, somebody else, is there usually some sort of, you know, repercussion from that?
I mean, typically, but as I said, in that situation, I'm not sure. You'd have to ask Coach Belichick on that.
Green Bay Packers come to town on Sunday night, another night game, by the way. And I know you haven't even begun yet to work on preparing for Green Bay. But your initial thoughts about the Packers and how they play defense?
I mean, they're always a solid team as a whole. They have a good offense and a solid defense. And they have guys like the linebacker in the secondary that can play ball. So they're steady up on them to just be ready to go.
What did you think of Tom Brady trying to throw a block onto Lorenzo Alexander?
Hey, he did what he had to do. He sprung Julie around the corner. Not pretty, but it happened.
I think Tom said he was a speed bump.
Hey, whatever works. Hey,
whatever it took. You know, he didn't make the tackle. So.
James, we appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you next week.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks,
James.
That is James White joining us. By the way, we mentioned earlier, just to wrap this up, the Boston Globe has now confirmed James Whitey Bulger was killed today at a West Virginia prison, according to two people briefed on the situation.
Wow.
Both spoke on the condition of anonymity. He was transferred there, I think, yesterday.
I was going to say, that was his first night in there.
Yes, and somebody killed him. Now, you aren't going to find very many people, not named Bulger, who are going to spend one moment of grieving for this guy.
Right. I wonder who did it. Or not necessarily who did it, but who planned it or who was behind it.
He was in deteriorating health. That was one of the reasons for the move. He was first moved from a prison in Florida to one in Oklahoma, then ultimately transferred to this prison in West Virginia. He arrived there yesterday. Last night, as you said, Rich, was his first night in the prison.
Wow.
And he was killed in the prison, presumably by an inmate, but even that
detail hasn't been
put out there.
I have no idea. Who knows? But that is pretty crazy. So Michelle McPhee was the first one that had
She was easily the first. And we mentioned at the time she was the only person reporting it for a while there. But she had it before anybody else had it. And infamous Boston mobster James Whitey Bulger killed in prison.
I believe
a little bit earlier today.
89 years old.
Yeah. I mean,
we've seen the images of him, you know, some of the more recent shots you've seen of him. Obviously, you know, he looked like he was 109 years old, but so 89. Wow.
Time to talk to New England Patriots defensive player Trey Flowers, brought to you by Mass General Hospital Cancer Center. Every day amazing. I'm going to do this nervously because James White's phone sounded so bad. Trey, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
You got a phone that works, Trey.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, I thought that was your best defensive game of the season. How did you think things went for you last night?
Yeah, I think, you know, I did pretty good. I mean, as far as just, you know, them trying to attack like the perimeter with, you know, McCoy and things like that, just able to, you know, play fundamentally sound and make the plays that came my way. So, going to be all right.
You were that close to your first career interception. How upset were you? Yeah. I could see you were pretty bad on the field.
Yeah. It was just one of those deals that, you know, your instinct is to put your hand, you know, high as you can to try to tip the ball. But, you know, I wasn't expecting him to throw it so low, so it kind of hit me right in the face mask. And, you know, I missed out on the opportunity, but I keep playing hard. They're going to keep coming, and I just got to be ready for it next time. So.
Hey, is Devin McCourty just flat out faster than we think he is?
Man, listen, he caught the ball. He was like 30 yards behind me. You know, I'm at the quarterback. He caught, you know, 30 yards down the field. I turned and tried to block. You know, tried to look for somebody to block, and then when I looked back up, he was right there beside me, like, and I'm like, man, he got it, man. He didn't run that fast. He he don't need no help. So after that, I tried to race it to the end zone, but you know how that went. So, he put on the jets that play, and you know, that was a big play for him.
Dale was just asking James White about this, but with the NFL trade deadline today at 4:00, does that change anything for you today? Or are you looking to see if you're going to have a new teammate coming in, or if one of your current teammates is going to be on his way out? Is it a weird kind of day?
Nah, I mean, you know, I don't get too much into that. Belichick, you know, coach just, you know, he do what's best for the team, so. You know, it's just one of those deals that, you know, whatever it is, you just got to, you know, deal with it, keep it rolling. So, I don't look too much into it as far as somebody, you know, either coming or going, you know, whatever happens. So.
Do you get a little extra cranked up knowing that next Sunday night you get to play against Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I mean, you know, cranked up for every game, but, you know, he's definitely a good competitor, a great quarterback in his league, so. You know, I think we just, you know, as a defense, just got to be able to be prepared, you know, for a hard-fought battle and understand that, you know, it's a good team coming in here. So, you know, we got to be prepared. So.
Now, the Bills coming into it, obviously not a great offense. They've not scored a lot of points this year. But were you guys still satisfied? Obviously, keeping them out of the end zone and only holding them to 6 points, did you feel pretty good about the team effort?
Yeah, I think you know, the funny thing about the Bills, you know, they in our division, so, you know, we know they know us, we know them, and, you know, we're going to get their best, you know, each and every game. So, We understood that. We understood the atmosphere we were going into. And just being able to, you know, execute the game plan, you know, stop the run, be physical, things like that. I think it was a good step forward for the defense, just as, you know, with a pretty good team. So, you know, it was a good team and a good team win.
Trey, congratulations on the win and your performance last night as well. We always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Take care. That is Trey Flowers. Do you want to know that Demaryius Thomas is about to be traded too?
I saw that.
The Houston Texans.
Now, according to
NFL Insider, Ian Rappaport.
So let's see if it goes through. So we don't know for sure.
I was holding off on that part for you.
But that's great news because
you didn't want him anyway.
I didn't want him at all. You know, it's probably a decent move for Houston in the sense that, you know, Will Fuller is out, and Will Fuller and Deshaun Watson have had a good connection. So with him out, all the attention can go on to DeAndre Hopkins. So at least Thomas helps them out a little bit. So I guess it makes sense for them. But I didn't want him on the Patriots, so I'm happy to see that.
According to Rappaport, the Broncos held firm on wanting a fourth-round pick. Now, he points out, you know, that may not be the end of the compensation, but they had to have a fourth-round pick. I mean, you think of Demaryius Thomas and his career, and you think, what? Yeah. Fourth round pick? Of course you do that.
Well, the trades are bizarre to me. Every NFL trade, when like a great player goes for a second or a third round pick, I'm always very confused.
Yes.
And then you get you'll get like Khalil Mack, who goes for a couple of first round picks, which makes sense. You're like, okay, that I kind of get. Although then they also had to give up a second round pick. So that's been about it so far. I mean, they still got 3 hours left.
And that one
isn't
even done yet.
No, it's not done, but
they're closing in on it, according to NFL Insider.
All right.
Ian Rappaport.
Well, I don't know about that. wait till I see Thomas in a Texans uniform.
Or if Adam Schefter tweets it out,
right,
you'll jump all over
then
it.
Then I'll take it.
617-779-7937. Your calls the rest of the way. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.